Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. I'm your detective, David Love. I'm broadcasting live from the land down under on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome to our show. Today we have our very special guest, Ted Winslow, with us today. Ted is an engineer, a techie, musician, developer, and composer of eclectic sound healing arrangements through the use of alpha and theta and a variety of other healing frequencies. So welcome to our show, Ted.
Hey, David, thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad to have you on here to talk about your music.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it on this fine, beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a little bit dark here in Australia, but it's still a great day. Every day is a good day when we're on BBS Radio and doing our show and talking to our guests. We always enjoy every guest we've had, and I'm really looking forward to the show with you. We've been trying to set it up for a while, so I'm really interested in hearing about the types of frequencies you're using in your music, and I've heard some of it. I've heard some of the clips, and it's really good. I'm really interested in this because I spent some time, because I'm a hypnotist, and I spent some time studying frequencies and brain cycles, the alpha, theta, delta, and beta. So I'm very interested in how it affects human behavior and our moods. And of course, it's very relevant to hypnosis and how we go into trance states or hypnotic states, where it opens us up more to the subconscious mind. So unfortunately, Lana can't be here with us today to take part in the conversation, but I'm sure she'll listen to it later, and maybe we can have you on the show again when she's around. But I'm interested in hearing about your background and experiences.
Sure. My background is eclectic of many things. So musically wise, I kind of started out in the 80s with playing as not only a studio musician, but I'd played with a band that was entertaining record companies back in the day. On top of studying and getting my degree, which was engineering, minoring in music, was technical engineering and dealing with audio engineering. And I realized that with all the studio work that I was doing, that it would behoove me to further myself as an engineer and start learning that aspect of it. And through that journey, I kind of started studying a little bit about different frequencies and how it was changing a little bit in music. So you deal with classical era, Baroque era, dealing with the likes of Bach, who influenced Beethoven and Mozart. You also had Haydn back there with Bach, and they were dealing with different tunings in different styles, two different styles of music, one which is secular, that they were kind of doing that was inside their contracts with the kings and queens and the courts, and then the other one was outside of there. So they would experiment outside and then bring it inside. And looking at how all those tunings were affecting as to where our tunings are today, which are basically in a tuning of 440 hertz. And I'll kind of stop a little bit from talking about where I'm at so people understand when I talk about frequencies. It's basically how a tuning to a certain frequency that you can tune your keyboards, your instruments. So 440 hertz is what's known as a standard tuning, pretty much just about worldwide, mostly through Europe and North America, where a concert will sit down or a band will sit down and they'll tune all their instruments to A above middle C, which is 440 hertz. So back to with my studies and playing in some of the bands, I started realizing that there was something that was hard for allowing me to relax after doing a show. We would do a show, we'd be headlining a show and coming off the stage at sometimes midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, depending on where the venue was with that. And none of us could sleep. And we're just completely wired up. And I started kind of realizing back then that maybe I had to do something with the tunings. And you can imagine the music scene in the 80s, early 90s, as I'm talking to...
I can.
Yeah.
I'm talking there. To,
yeah. Somebody was saying, hey, if you remembered it, you weren't really there. And I a lot of bands were breaking up and a lot of musicians were getting upset with their fellow musicians in the bands. And I was seeing a lot of changing behaviors going through it. And it just was crazy. And I remember coming in and talking to my bandmates and saying, hey, I got a really cool idea. Why don't we experiment with this tuning? I've been kind of personally looking at this from this aspect and see what we could do with it. And then they're all looking at me like I'm crazy. The guitar player's like, well, I just want to play the guitars. The singer's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Let me stick to the words. And of course, the drummers are like, I'm keeping the time. So it didn't really happen then. And a couple years later, I started doing some, that's where I started getting more recordings with myself and seeing what this music would do with me. And I started feeling it. Long story short, I actually took a spiritual journey. One of my spiritual journeys, and I was on my motorcycle. I lean over my wife. It's like early in the morning, just getting out of the shower. It's just before Easter weekend. In April, and I lean over to her and I'm like, honey, I got to take a motorcycle ride and I got to go. I have to go to Alaska. And so for those in the States, I live here in Colorado. Alaska's all the way up on the other end. It's like about a 5,000 mile journey. And I'm a big motorcycle enthusiast. So I took this journey that went up there by myself and did a solo trip. It was about 5,000 miles in about 2 weeks of time. And through part of that, I ended up in Juneau. My wife got a message, a spiritual message, and I really didn't know where I was going. I just knew that I was just riding as hard and as fast as I could. And I ended up in Juneau. And at the time, I kind of was out of the music industry, working more in a corporate world. I had about two businesses that I was running. And I got that it was time to leave and go back deeper into music. And my wife got the same time, had this vision that to end up on this in Juneau at this place called the Shrine of St. Teresa. And so I did some walking through there and just started having a lot of epiphanies. And walking, there's a labyrinth. It's actually an island with an ancient cathedral on it. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And Juneau, Alaska, wow. Only two ways in. You either get in by boat, so I had to really ride my motorcycle onto a boat and tie it down, and or you can come in by airplane. So I came back, attended a New Age trade show, a trade show, an international trade show that was dealing with one of our publishing companies that we had at the time. And I heard a crystal bowl being rung. And I'd never, out of all the musical instruments that I play or have played or have recorded, never have come across a crystal bowl. And I'm hearing these harmonic and frequencies all over the place. So I went, sought out the sound and talked to these guys and learned how to play the instrument. And as an engineer, I'm looking at it going, man, I know how I can record these in a variety of different ways, and went and bought a whole set of them. And that's when all of the frequencies started coming together, and I started playing with some of the higher frequencies with all of that. So, and started out with my first album. That kind of took off, and right now I'm just getting ready. I'm weeks away from releasing my 14th album that's dealing with frequencies and healing effects and that's
wow. So
that's kind of how I got into all of this.
Wow, well, congratulations on your new album. That's quite a story. You know, you went through a spiritual journey like the rest of us,
or yeah.
to get to where you are, which is all encompassing, really. It's the whole, the physical journey, the mental journey, the emotional journey, and the insights you gain from it. And it sounds like you've really stumbled upon something really interesting. I mean, I think I have heard of other musicians sort of exploring something similar, but I haven't heard it quite this way, the way you're explaining it. So can you tell me a little bit more about how you've found these? I mean, music, I remember taking music appreciation in college, and I remember, you know, studying Bach and et cetera, classical music and all sorts of different and just musical geniuses. And so I obviously music has always had effect on the human mind and,
yeah.
and probably on our spirit and on our bodies as well. So it soothes us. It gets us excited. It gets us impassioned and inspired. And so, But what about the kind of music that you're working with, the frequencies that you're working with?
Okay. So as we look, I look at the palette of the frequencies that I'm working with my music, and it makes it unique into kind of the aspect of where colors are. So we know that our eyes, when we look outside, we can see a certain limited of colors. They're like reds, greens, and then the hues of those make up the other ones. I apologize, and I'm not privy to the knowledge of really that the whole color wheel and the aspect of it, but I think there's about six colors that are out there, seven colors that the eye can see, and the rest of them make up some of the blends with it. And that's where I was kind of looking at my music coming from, is that from a musical and our listening with our ears, the aspect that we're looking at the hearing the tones is now different frequencies. So I would start recording the frequencies in, say, 429 or 510 hertz and 432, which is one of my favorite ones. And so what those frequencies do is it's like a mathematical layout in frequencies with where the harmonics are, much less where the notes are going to be that fall inside of that. And so mathematically, I'm able to calculate, and then I go back and reprogram synthesizers or retune guitars. I've even will retune drum heads sometimes to the drums that I use with it. And with today's technology, there's a lot of different synths that you can retune as well on there to be able to put those into the recordings. So I started playing with that, and through the process started realizing that I could also incorporate more of the theta frequencies in through binaural beats and as well as alpha frequencies in that. So I created a company, a technology that's called SoundSync Tech. And this is basically customized brainwave technology through binaural beats with my compositions, my tunings, and state-of-the-art recording technologies and frequencies, where I'm calling it like the next generation of sound healing. We all know with the studies and the new reports that are coming back that frequencies are really good for us. Our bodies are about 75% water. And Dr. Emoto has been able to show that through his book, Hidden Messages in Water, that through crystallography, if we give anger words, you could see he's been able to show where the water can change its color or it's to a geometrical shape is what can show up on that, as well as to you start praising love, it starts to show that. So my music's based around those principles. Now, one other aspect that's important to it, back to where I was talking about 440 hertz, 440 hertz is a very dissonant frequency when you listen to it. A lot of us don't realize that because we actually hear it every day. So when we turn on the TV in the morning and we're being bombarded by the commercials saying buy, 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 because they're always telling us what we need to buy or what's going on with political aspects to natural disasters. And we're getting hammered with these 440 dissonant frequencies, which kind of goes back to where I was calculating all the bands that were tuning all their instruments to that frequency. A lot of them end up breaking up after a couple of years. Even the great John Lennon and Paul McCartney at one point ended up splitting after, I'm trying to think which album that was. I don't want to say it was Abbey Road because they did one more, I believe, after that. But it's close to that. And yet they did experiment at the same time with 528, with the frequency with that. So that's where my music started to come in. I could hear it. My audience was able to hear it as well. And then I became friends with this Russian scientist he's a doctor out of Russia that teaches in the University of St. Petersburg. And he'd heard about some of the stuff that I was working with and playing with and happened to have been here in Colorado at a TV station and had called me up to come down and meet with him. So I drove down the highway, ended up meeting with him. We kind of got to talking, quickly became friends. I had been invested in his technology, so I was familiar with it and how it was working, and just started working through biophotonic imaging. Now, not only could I hear how well the music was affecting me as well as the listeners and my audience, and I was working with some clients. But now we could see scientifically through these devices that he has been working on and how it was affecting us. And so I got contracted by one company who I got to go out and meet with his head engineer out in Ohio. And we sat down with these devices and started just even going further and playing with them and calibrating them. And so it was cool to see. Now I can put the science behind with what we typically hear.
That's fascinating. I know Lana, being a doctor of the mind, would be incredibly fascinated by what you've just said, especially she's also Russian ancestry. So she has a special place in her heart for our Russian scientists, I think, or for the work done in Russia. But I remember that's just amazing. What a story. We, Lana and I went to, I'm sure you've heard of the Monroe Institute.
We went
to the Monroe Institute last year, and, you know, Robert Monroe was famous for his books, Journeys Out of the Body, and the two that came after that, Far Journeys and The Ultimate Journey, and did a lot with hemisync and patented that, and I believe that's binaural beats, and works on the subconscious to induce out-of-body experiences or astral projection. And I actually had some success with that. I had some astral experiences, slight out-of-body experiences while I was at the Monroe Institute. Although it's every experience with being out of the body is slightly different, and there's different sort of sync levels, I guess you could say, where I've had them in the past, spontaneous out-of-body events. So it's where it was very clear and very classic, where I'm standing there looking at my body. With the hemisync, I had different types of experiences where it's just very unusual, and I don't even know how to explain it, but it's amazing what frequencies can do to our minds, just spiritually and emotionally. I don't know what else to say except you're fascinated and intrigued by what you're saying and the research that you've put into it. It's quite amazing. And even, especially as a hypnotist, both of us, Lana and I, are both hypnotists. So it's wholly these frequencies, the frequencies, the cycles within the alpha and theta states are very much of interest to us, both being hypnotists. So we've spent a lot of time talking about this between the two of us, about Schumann resonance, and we've talked about putting out some kind of music, you know, with, people have done this, you know, with where you're putting in affirmations and trying to actually put it out on the networks, meditative type music, and it's being done anyhow. I'm not saying that that we're talking about anything novel for ourselves, but we're also working on something that we call we've already launched it. It's called the Super Consciousness Project. It involves catalyst groups, and it involves talented mediums led by channelers. And it's different from meditation because we're trying to awaken. The idea is to awaken humanity, to join in the channelers, a circle of mediums to join in the channelers' energy being that they're channeling, to increase that manifesting power and to make positive changes in the world and to broadcast that throughout the world. And this is something we've been working on for 3 years. And this was something that one of my guides brought to me, an idea. So, you know, talking to people and we're starting to get it off the ground. And you know, one of the components we had thought about incorporating into the Super Consciousness Project was this idea of different frequencies to try to really make a bigger impact and make us so much more effective and successful with this, with having these catalyst groups around the world and broadcasting these, something that we're calling ascension sessions. So that's one of the reasons why when I got your email and you're asking to be on our show, I was thinking, wow, this is a perfect opportunity to sort of delve into this area and talk a little bit more about, especially where I'm not that knowledgeable with it as much as you are, for sure.
Oh, that, I think that's absolutely fantastic with what you're talking about. You get everybody in there with a channeler who's bringing in these vibrations, these higher energies, and because the whole universe, that's the thing, is that people are so limited with their frame of mind from when they wake up, like I described, to turning on the news, and then they get stuck in that. Then they go and deal with their job, 9-to-5 job, where they might have a boss that might be picking on them or a little bit unjust to them, to coming home and dealing with family trauma and drama from what the family's dealt outside of the scope of the day with being with you. And so with what you're describing, especially with the hypnotherapy, that stuff is so awesome. And in fact, I did, when I came out with my album, Frequency of the Fairies, I did some past life regressions through some of that stuff and was channeling in through that and going through and reading the notes. So dealing with mediums, bringing in these higher universal frequencies and getting a room of everybody in that same frequency and just getting that vibration going bigger and bigger. And the manifestations that you guys will be able to create, I can't wait to hear about it and see your guys' studies with that.
Wow. Well, you just said it better than me, actually, I think, bringing in those higher frequencies and yeah, exactly. And we've been, you know, looking forward to it, and it's underway. And so, and it's just very exciting. You know, we're very excited about everything that's happening and very excited to have you on our show to talk more about this and try to even explain it even better than I understand it. So yeah, this is great. Are you able to play a music clip? I know this isn't an ideal, but maybe if not, I guess we can lead people to your links anyhow on your bio.
Unfortunately, not at this point. I am working on a system so that I can plug in my other stuff with a different type of interface, and I've been so busy I haven't got that. So if I play it, it's going to be squashing it and distorted that the listeners really aren't going to get the full effect. But I'll tell you what. Those who are listening, they can go download I have an album called Angelic Sound Healing, and it's actually been a bestseller on Amazon for the last couple of years. So the listeners can sample it and hear what I'm talking about, which are the frequencies of the angels. Go to my website at tedwinslow.com, and you'll also see the videos I have there with the scientific studies for those who want to see that. I put it into a video so people could see what I talk about. But go to the store and select the album, Angelic Sound Healing. You'll go to the checkout, and at the checkout, it's going to ask you to put in a coupon code. And if they just put in the coupon code RADIO, RADIO, and then check out, it will zero out the balance so that they won't owe anything on that album. And then they'll proceed through the checkout. It's going to ask a couple questions just to make sure that we're not getting hammered by some of those robo whatever things. And the only thing that I ask is that two things is it'll give you the list of the albums to download. They're MP3 digital downloads where you'll be able to get this, and you can get the artwork with it too. Download one or two at a time. My website gets hammered all the time on a daily basis with people making purchases and getting it. So it's crashed sometimes on people with all these downloads coming through. And if that happens, you can go back and repeat the process to get that in. And those who do get it, so that I'm an independent artist and I have an independent label. I didn't want to go the commercial route because dealing with some of those people, they want me to change in so many different aspects that I don't want to compromise my music, and I don't want to compromise the business with that. So if they could go on to iTunes, if they have an iTunes account or Amazon, and at least put a review of the album or one of my albums if they've got pick up my other albums, that would be greatly appreciated because that helps other people making decisions as we go through this healing process and to the music for how it's helping us all. So you can get that album for free on my website, and that's where the listeners will be able to get a taste of it.
Okay, great. That's great. Thank you for giving us that information. I encourage everyone to go there and just take a listen like I did, and you'll be well worth it, well worth looking into it. I think we'll go to a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk more about your music and more about the frequencies you're using and everything else to do with music. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of cold today, but we'll carry on with the show. This is Detective David Love with Universal Soul Love, broadcasting on the BBS Radio Network and Land Down Under. We'll be back in a minute with Ted Winslow. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love, broadcasting live from the Land Down Under on the BBS Radio Network. I'm here today with our special guest, Ted Winslow, who's a very, very interesting musician working with alpha and theta waves and in his music with special frequencies. And we're having a very interesting conversation about this. Welcome back, Ted.
Hey, good to be back.
So I just wanted to, we were just talking during the break about, actually we started talking about how music, in my books, I have two books that I wrote. I'm working on another one if I ever get it done when I have the time. I wrote about, one of my books was Illusion of the Body and the other one was The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories. And I spent a lot of time talking about, plants in that book and about historical figures like Baxter, who was well known for hooking up a lie detector, a polygraph, to plants and found sort of, I guess you could say, mental transmissions or emotional transmissions coming through the lie detector. And he did hundreds of tests on this. And then there were others like Chandra Bose, I'm not quite saying that his name correctly, an Indian scientist who also did work on plants. And that's just fascinating to me how not only does music affect human beings, but it affects all of life because it is frequency, it is energy, it is vibrational energy. That's the nature of the universe. That's the law of mentalism. It's like you were saying during the break, it's also, there are also mathematical equations or codes incorporated into these vibrational frequencies that make up the structure of our mental universe and our physical universe. So what you're doing is really getting at the core of existence, really, the essence of the universe. You know, math is the language of the universe, even though I'm terrible at it. And I'm not a scientist either, but I do understand it intuitively. So this, what you're doing is really the stuff that works on the subconscious mind, our operating system. And not only on ours, but it works on animals and plants and everything. So I'm wondering if you want to comment on that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've got a ton. I love this. We all know that we've heard probably the most well-known law is what the law of gravity, what goes up comes down. Then we have the law of lift, which is the law that makes, that helps the airplanes be able to fly, that creates the lift with them. 1905, Einstein had discovered the law of vibration, where it's a law of nature that states that nothing rests, that everything moves and that everything vibrates. And it's a difference, you know, between manifestations of the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual results simply from different levels of this vibrating energy or these frequencies. And scientists in Germany have found that energy can be sent and absorbed, transferred, or exchanged between living things. And there was a team that had discovered that not only plant cells draw and exchange the energy from other plants around them, but that so can people. And on this next album coming out, there is a track that I loved. And I wanted to see what its effect would be with a plant, as well as what music from a hardcore 440 with a regular beat on that and what it would do to it. And so over time, you could see the deterioration in the plant being hammered by this hard 440 music. And then I turned around and played my sound healing behind it to give it the love. And again, thinking, you know, our bodies are 75% water, and I don't know what the equivalent is for plants, what they're going to be. It's now being entrainment with these higher vibrations and these frequencies. And I knew that we could see it. And how would that transfer to a plant as well with going with that? So we're trying to put the video together with that. We keep running out of time because as I'm finishing up with this album, I've got two other albums that are coming through. And now I got to get together so that I properly get the right wording with this video. So hopefully that will be able to come out and be able to put up on my website as well. It's interesting to think that going back and finding out who was one of the first people that could figure out a little bit more in depth what vibration was and study it. And as I started digging deeper, to the best of my knowledge, that I started finding was Pythagoras, who lived around 5th century before Christ. And so you imagine this guy, he was an astronomer, he was a mathematician, he was also a musician, many things, walking around through Mesopotamia, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and all this vast amounts of knowledge. And so one day, as he's walking through whatever town that he's in, and I imagine he had a shop there, so maybe it's probably Greece, and he starts hearing these high pitches, kind of like me chasing after the crystal ball. Like, my God, what is that? And he follows the sound, and he goes and finds that there's a blacksmith hammering on an anvil, creating these different pitches. And he sits there and he watches him for a while, perplexed. He goes home and he builds what's called a monochord, which is probably like the first string instrument, probably for its time. And he mathematically figures out where all these pitches are, where they're harmonious, where they're dissonant, where they work together. And he has all these mappings that are out. You can find more about that on the web, on the Pythagorean tunings. So it's kind of cool to think that way back then, somebody's building a modern day stringed instrument and going, oh, let's figure out where these sounds are. I love guitar, so that to me is just like, hey, he's the first guitar player.
Well, yeah, I remember reading about Pythagoras and some of his experiments and concepts that he came up with. It blows my mind, really, that, you know, this, what you're doing, people have been trying to explore and investigate for thousands of years, literally. And it seems like there's some lost knowledge here, something that we should have known all along, that we're not discovering, but we're basically rediscovering. And we're finding that these frequencies, not only do they affect us, our minds, our subconscious minds, our greater consciousness, it's affecting all it. Music, these vibrations affect all of life. And even, like you said, these higher energies, these higher beings. So we're really, it feels like we're on the forefront of really bringing in some fantastic lost knowledge. And I'm not sure why it was lost, but, you know, there's lots of stories around that. We've had people on our show talking about it. But those conspiracies, we won't call them conspiracy theories, but anyhow, there's lots of them. And probably there's being, you know, that I'm an investigator, I think there's always a little bit of truth in everything, but the story tends to get changed, and sometimes inadvertently and sometimes intentionally. But nonetheless, we can certainly see from historical figures like Pythagoras that this information is valid, that there's been testing done, and that it's been around for a long time. And you're certainly one of the modern researchers putting it to use now. So that's fantastic.
It's so fun right now with the way that the technology is developing and progressing and advancing, because it does enable me to really get in there. I look at, as I've been studying through it and trying to see some of the other stuff that some other people, and I'm actually a member of the Audio Engineering Society. And so we're at a great time right now. I know a lot of people complain about, well, the music industry and all that. And yeah, that's my main staple, being here with the music industry. But to be able to put this out, and I can't wait till we could start. We know that with the lower frequencies and higher frequencies, our hearing can only pick up from 20 hertz and above. So we can't hear anything 20 hertz and below. And we can't hear anything over 20,000 hertz either. And that's a high, high frequency. But our bodies can pick up on these different frequencies. And I'll start getting messages on how to start incorporating some of these other frequencies so that it's not disturbing. I was working on this last album when I was incorporating both the theta and the alpha, and I had a focus group that was kind of listening to it, and I kind of cranked up the theta and the alpha just a little too much. And of course, you can't really hear it, but you can feel it and you don't know what's going on. And it was making them dizzy. And I'm like, and even me, I was like, wow, you could get like so into it. And then it starts to go away. So it was like, okay, there's a study all on its own that I have to come back and go touch base on. But I'm worried about listeners who pick it up from iTunes. They're like, they don't know what this is. It's hitting them. So eventually be great. There's more devices that'll start to be able to show how we can see the different frequencies and deal with it. We know they're already being used in hospitals through medical, through some of the medical devices as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's being used. They're using it quite regularly in hospitals and to, you know, help calm people and relax people. And certainly hypnotists use it. It certainly does change your mood. We know that. We've always known that. And it's interesting what you mentioned about our limited ability to detect some of these different frequencies and even colors. Our five senses are very limited. It's like our body is an entire sensory suit, and we're always picking up vibrations. We're always in communication back and forth with the outer world, drawing stuff in and expressing ourselves, even when we don't know it. It's really interesting to me. I mean, I studied, I took special classes on nonverbal communication. And of course, we've heard that 70% of all communication is nonverbal. And it's just that you train yourself, especially when I was interviewing victims and witnesses and people doing interviews. I was always looking for those nonverbal cues because it told me a lot more about more than the story that I was hearing, basically. I was hearing the underlying story, and it helped me develop my intuition, my higher senses, so that I could get a bigger picture, a more accurate version of the truth of what the person was trying to tell me. Because sometimes they didn't even know exactly what it was they wanted to express. So I learned to read people through practice, and I learned that, and eventually you learn to just pick up people's energy, and unfortunately you open yourself up to all energies in the process. I spent a lot of time in the spiritualist church in psychic development classes, learning mediumship over several years. So you tend to, you have to learn how to work with your filters as well. You know, it's a difficult process, but our body is really a sensory. So every single person on the planet is always picking up communication, even when they don't know it. Even when someone's not talking to you, you're picking up their energy. They're communicating. We're always communicating. And that's always been interesting to me. So we might as well learn how to use our bodies better and learn how to work with these frequencies in a more positive way so we can have a more positive life experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And see, that's so true with what you're saying, that, you know, you start working with some of their nonverbal. Here's a funny thing, because I'm always dealing with the audio oral aspect of it, and I sometimes forget looking at for visual signs and cues. So I have a client that's coming in. At the time, I'm a vocal coach, and was working with a vocal toning album and wanted to see the effects, how it would affect someone coming in to sing. And so I have this album that's out there where people can vocal tone. For those who don't know how to do it, the album teaches them how to do it. And I wanted to see through biophotonic imaging how it was going to affect her aura and her chakras and her energy level. And she came in, and I didn't know that she doesn't like to sing. That's like one of the things that she hates the most is singing. And so she comes in, and I do a reading on her before she even hears any of my music. And then I wanted her to sing to two or three tracks. And she's like going, no, I'm not singing. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a part of the study of this. And I need you, this, hence the vocal toning. And she's just, now I'm seeing that she's got resistance. And I'm like, this isn't going to be good. I get her talked into it. She starts, instead of singing with it, she was having a terrible day at with her job and at the office. And she's like, I hate my boss. She's singing it to the best of the tune that she can. And is all this negative stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, what have I done? I've just ruined this test that I'm trying to do so we could see what the results. It's just going to blow it. And I'm like, well, at least I'll be able to know from here. But it's funny on when you realize somebody's comfort level and where they're not comfortable and how to be able to comfort them and how can you do that. Ironically enough, when she came out of the vocal booth and we went back and did another scan on her with it, it showed that she was more relaxed. It showed that her chakras were closed beforehand and now started to open up and they started to become more aligned with it. So, and that was kind of cool to see that.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen a lot of experiments done like that with MRIs on people's brains when they're pumping in certain frequencies. And it's amazing to see those changes take place. I have to tell you a story, and this may make me look bad, I guess. I don't normally, you know. One of my cases was a group of people, and I guess this will appeal to the our conspiracy buffs, and there's certainly some probably something to this, I'm sure. This was in the early 90s. I got a case from a group of people that were looking to put together an investigative task force. And they were saying that this group of people were victims of electronic mind control harassment experiments by a government contractor. And they had a lawyer. They had gotten a temporary restraining order in court against this government contractor. And I had no idea what to do with this case. And of course, I didn't get involved. You know, we're talking early mid-90s, I think. But, I started doing some research on this electronic mind control technology and really didn't know what to make of it. I mean, I'd spoken with quite a few people about this who claimed to be victims of this and, read some material on it and everything. I actually bought a device and I guess it's, I can't remember exactly what the device was. You know, this was, again, in the early 90s, and you could buy it online. And I took it to a security job I had, and I actually, everybody has to pass through a gate. It was a factory. And as people were passing through, I just turned it on, and it sounded a little bit like a fan belt, you know, a squeaky fan belt squealing, but it wasn't that loud. It was kind of a low frequency. And I don't know, I've read about ELF waves and EMF and whatnot, different types and how they affect the brain. But I noticed when people were walking by, they were getting headaches and they were putting their hands on their heads to their ears and everything. And it was very strange, you know, to see the behaviors. And I guess it's a bit sadistic, but I just didn't think it really worked. And I didn't do it for that long. I just wanted to see if this was a real thing, that these claims that people were making about this stuff. And that was all I did. And I still don't know I was very young. I was in my 20s. I still don't know the extent of or the reality of that stuff. I hear a lot about it, obviously. And I know there has been research done on it. I'm sure I know that if a government could use technology, I don't know the extent of it and how much it can really control human behavior. But I'm sure that if the technology were that good, any government or military would spend endless amounts of money to develop it and use it because that's what governments and militaries will do to maintain control historically. So that's my foray into electronic mind control.
The U.S. Army, I don't know, they got the mind control. And I've heard a lot because I talked to a lot of different people and different aspects of it. And it always surprises me some of the comments or statements that I get, but it is common that they know that our military has, I can't remember if they call it a psychoacoustic something, and they'll go out with certain trucks and set it up with big speakers, and they'll go ahead and start to hit a certain area. One of it to a primitive degree, I believe, was we had a thing that was here in Waco, and they were hitting them at Waco, and that place, I won't go into the details on it, but they did use it use one of them there, and they didn't have a very good outcome with it all.
That's psychological tactics. I think they did that with Noriega when he was in a church.
Yeah.
I think he liked classical music and hated heavy metal or hard rock, and had loud big speakers. They were pumping out Led Zeppelin or something to drive them out. I remember something about that a long time ago.
I had an interesting thing through some of that. That one of the testimonials I got, we had a firefighter that was here at Ground Zero, and he was out there for 9/11 when the Twin Towers collapsed, and he was out there for 15 weeks, and he was having a hard time getting his body back to a normal, functioning somewhat normal, because the trauma that he had seen and had to endure out there, he just couldn't function normally or sleep at night and was on some meds and stuff. And so he picked up a couple of my albums and was able to listen to them, and they had changed it. And it's the entrainment. It's the dealing with the theta. You mentioned about theta and as well as the alpha. And so theta is going to be the frequency range of 4 to 7 hertz in frequency. And basically, it's labeled as the border between conscious and the subconscious world, where we can access and influence powerful subconscious parts of our source or in our minds, is normally inaccessible when we're awake. And then alpha is going to deal with roughly around the 8 to 13 hertz, which is the normal activity of the brain, where we're conscious and we're relaxed. And that's going to be more associated with relaxed alertness, enhanced learning, creativity, peak performance, imagination, visualization, and intuition. So part of my path that I was learning on this is that as we're trying to bring ourselves to calm down, when I'm coming off of the stage at 10 o'clock at night and I'm just all powered up and I cannot be able to relax, people are like, healers are going, oh, well, you need to go into do a 2-hour meditation. And my life cannot do 2-hour meditations. And so that's where I started having to play. Where's the length of the song? Where's the best beats? Where can we play with this there? And I found that the best purpose is around 5 to 7 minutes. In that short of a time period, I can start to affect someone so that when they're listening to it, it's the fastest way to raise your vibration. And I believe it's because the ego is not going to resist it. Ego cannot resist music. It just stops and absorbs it. So that was the basis that I started creating Sound Sync Tech, so we could take the brain into the subconscious state through this theta and alpha brainwave entrainment. And then I'll just leave the 440 for when we go to the gym and crank that stuff up for getting a huge, heavy, hard workout.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. The right music for the right purpose, for the right occasion. That's really interesting. You were talking about I'm getting a little lost on this, but on the theta, I know when I started doing meditation, which everything you said was what I know in terms of, you know, getting into the deeper levels of the subconscious where the changes take place and you're operating your mental operating system. But I remember when I had started out meditating, I couldn't even do a minute. And you made a very good point about the ego not being able to resist music. That's really interesting. I've never heard that before, but I remember, you know, I also took a six week mindfulness class at the University of Massachusetts. But I remember when I had started out, I couldn't even do it when I would close my eyes, my thoughts were racing so fast that I couldn't bear to do meditating for more than 15 seconds. And I kept at it every day, trying to build myself up so that I could do it. And I found that for me, just plain old meditation, I could do it when I say plain old meditation, it's not quite accurate, but there's all different types of meditations. But anyhow,
yeah.
Just closing your eyes and relaxing and going into that meditative state, ideally, I would do it for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe up to a half an hour, got very good results from it. And I would often turn on light rock in the background, soft rock. That's what worked for me. And that's what I enjoyed, you know, any kind of camp. think of any songs at the minute. One of my favorites was Al Stewart, my favorite musicians, Year of the Cat and Time Passages. So along that genre, you know, but that was very helpful to me. And of course, you should be able to do meditation without music too, sometimes, just to know that you can do that. And even doing it in loud places, I used to sometimes meditate in the auto body shop. I just close my eyes, or in a restaurant, and it might be loud around me. And
yeah,
that distraction is meant to sort of help you focus even more. But certainly, I'm wondering how that would work with your music. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, it's because I had the same. I had a problem that I had too much chatter that was going on in my head, and I would sit there and try to relax, and the chatter was going. I would listen to classical music, and then I was off to the races, because now I'm following the melody, and how's the violin doing this, and where are the intervals are on that. So as a musician, sometimes it takes me somewhere where it's agitating, because I'm like, oh my God, I got to get up and play this, or I want to play that, or I start thinking where I'd be playing it on the guitar or on a keyboard. And so that I realized if I scaled a lot of that back with my music, that it would take that out. So now you're not focusing on a complex Paganini melody flying off, or an Eddie Van Halen melody going off in a different direction. Jaco Pastore is jamming on the bass. And so it just kind of holds you in this sacred space that can bring you back into a wholeness. And we have a publishing company, and our authors who would get writer's block started to use the music because they couldn't get through the writer's block, and then they put it in the background. Of course, you're dealing with the theta and the alpha waves on top of a frequency of your choosing, and the body thirsts for these frequencies. I believe it thirsts for it. I get asked a question that's like, well, what frequency should I listen to if I have this or this or that or that? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what you would be lacking, or you would be just like, if we had a smoothie with just carrots in it, we know that it's good for us, but you can have a variety of them that's going to have the cilantro, the turmeric, the apples, the pineapple, and it's going to be more beneficial. So these authors started listening to this, and it would just start spawning creativity. I had a computer programmer. It worked with him. I call it it's a great way for those who have a hard time with their mother-in-law. It's either going to repel her because she's not fixable, or it's going to put her right there on that same frequency. Now you're going to have a much more pleasant, enjoyable time instead of having contrasting vibrations with each other. And we're all oscillatory beings, so we all oscillate with this energy. And if you get everything at the same oscillation and get that going with harmonious, so it's not in a dissonance type of way with that mother-in-law theory, it's going to work. And I had a listener one time say that they had, I think it might have been like their sister or something, wouldn't leave. She fell upon hard times, and she had to crash and stay at her house, and she had one of those children that was probably a little bit more than a toddler, but was really running all over the place and bored and wasn't stimulated properly and just being disruptive and distracting. And she started playing that in the background. And within 2 to 3 days, that person not only found a new place to live, the child had become more soothed and relaxed and back on the same frequency. And she ended up finding the job that she wanted. So that's tapping into those vibrations that we're not aware of and accepting it and being able to go with it and be able to love with it. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great story. I think Dr. Lana is going to love it when she hears that one, because she's a child adolescent mental health doctor. So she's going to really want to hear about that. And I know the mother-in-law story, everybody can sort of relate to that, you know. So that's a really good one to bring up. I guess we've got a few minutes. Can you tell me a little bit about your past life regression experience? That's a specialty of mine. I have an advanced training in that, even though I don't do it anymore, and I don't even really recommend it for most people, because I think this life has enough for us to deal with, and that we wouldn't want to bring up stuff from the past. We tend to heal the past and the present anyhow in a present life. So, but nonetheless, it's an area of interest for me. So I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, that'd be great. My wife, She's certified in a Dolores Cannon method. And so she's always been curious with where I come, because I started getting, I would wake up about, not really wake up, but I would still be sleeping in the relaxed state, and I would start getting these messages that would come in that would really start to tell me what I needed to do with my music for that day when I get into the studio. And I know it sounds crazy, but I would wake up and I'd be like, oh, wow. And I would have it freshly in my mind. And it was like a calendar sitting on there, and I would come in and start tweaking it. It could be a song where it's like, yeah, you need to adjust this here and adjust this here and try that. And I come in. And so I kept getting these downloads, and she's like, you've got past lives that this is, some of this is probably where you might be getting some of these messages. And so she took me into it. And, this information came in for fairies in the, I can't remember. I got like 200 some odd, 60 tracks. I can't, but it was a frequency of the fairies. And so it came in as the information that had been kind of lost and hidden and destroyed. And that's kind of where I started. She scripted it all out. She would let me listen to this playback. I had a couple other ones that were like bizarre that I won't say on air, but that's the concept that came through that album. During one session, I guess it's Enha or Isis, she came through really strong as of this big, huge royal energy. And she gave me this message to create this song in 785 hertz and to bury this certain frequencies inside this. So it's kind of like we were talking about with some of the meditations, with some of the subliminal stuff. So, but to bury this frequency in such a way that it would be a huge help to humanity. And so this song, we kid around, we call it like a reptile repellent, or that could be the mother-in-law repellent. And it's kind of in there, and it's kind of like a dog whistle that you hear it, but we're not going to really hear it. And the particular song I'm talking about is actually Queen of the Fairies. So I put that frequency in there, and it, for a while, I haven't really talked much about that, because people are like, I just don't understand what you're saying, or where you're, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't register. But that song started going around and started becoming one of my number one selling songs at the time. So it was great to see this frequency and this energy that was channeled in, and have it created and have it go out there, and then just watch this song be picked out of all the songs and start to be prevalent on the sales and the album sales.
That's great. So you're telling me that you channeled Isis, is that right?
Yeah. I believe she said it was Isis. It came through as the name of Enha. I was pronouncing it as Enha or Enhe. And I'm not good with Sanskrit names or those.
No.
she guided me through it.
That's really interesting, because in my spiritual awakening or psychic awakening for several months, many months, the feminine, I just call it the goddess or the feminine energy, which has many names, Sophia, Isis, yeah. Aphrodite, etc., was very significant in the high point of my awakening. And ever since then, you know, that divine feminine consciousness has been working in my life. And also, I believe you're one of the only other persons that I've ever heard say that you've had past lives working with you and giving you information in your music, because in my books, two of my books, one of my past lives, who's one of my primary guides, gave me the majority of the information for the book. I thought it was, it's interesting how it could either be higher self or other spirits, but yet I call it a collective, because I believe that the higher self is made up of a number of different spirits, all of our past lives and alternative lives. And so I don't normally talk about Arthur, but Arthur Waite was very significant in the book, in those two books that I wrote, Illusion of the Body and The First Truth. So, and he would come through mediums, and he'd be at the Spiritualist Church in Florida, and he'd be talking about through these mediums about my books. And I can't remember exactly what was said back then, but it was just the strangest experience ever. My whole life's been kind of quite a strange adventure. But it's interesting that you're the only other person that's ever mentioned past life personalities coming forward to give information in the present life, because I mean, we understand that time is sort of a concept of the mind, and it's not something that exists outside of the physical world, the way we understand it, anyhow, linear time. So it's very possible for that to happen, I believe.
Oh, I am right there with you. And that's the thing, is it's not bizarre when you're telling us, because all the knowledge that you have is so huge to all of us, and being able to help kind of, for lack of a better term, but to be able to connect the dots, because there's so many of us out there that feel that there's that higher self that we can connect to. We can't see it. We feel it, though. We know that it's there. Some people can say that they can see him. I feel him in the messages that we get. That's just, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, that's my biggest one when I talk about, and I don't consider myself to be a medium or a channeler, although we did some channeling a couple of weeks ago, but generally my channeling is just, maybe being a creative person like you, it's all, because I'm a writer, it's all sort of higher consciousness, a connection to higher self. It's that stream of consciousness coming through, that inspired thought that enters your mind that you know is sort of coming from a greater part of your consciousness. So that's mainly where I draw from my source.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me in the creative aspect of the music, that when I step into that musical world, I don't really see anything. I am transported someplace else, and these songs come out of me. And it's so funny because people are like, oh, well, can you play this song or can you play this song? And it's like each album comes through individually through me, and then I record it. And it'll even give me a time frame with how long it's going to be. For the most part. And then I have other albums that just start coming through, and it's just a whole download process. And when I was working with the angelic frequencies, with the sound healing and the angels, angelic sound healing, the free download for everybody, the album in its entirety, everybody gets that. It was like I had Jophiel show up one time in the studio, and the equipment was going crazy and was blowing up. And I couldn't figure out what's going on because I was thinking too shallow. I wasn't thinking, opening up, and was just looking inward. And about the third time that it started destroying on the song that I was trying to finish, and it was actually mastering it, doing it textbook, I felt this huge 18, 20-foot presence behind me. It was Jophiel that said, no, leave it the way that it is. And I'm like, I'm not going to argue with that presence. Some people felt that if they're on a highway to take a different road, for whatever reason, it turns out there was a major accident that was on that highway had they gone through on that. So,
right. Yeah. We don't know. It's following. I found it one of the most useful things in my life is just intuitively following the guidance of your higher self or higher power or higher mind, whatever name you give to that. So, yeah, it's been very prominent in my life and very valuable to me. And I appreciate this part of the interview. It's really interesting. I think we better shut down now and just end the interview so that I want to get the entire interview in and Don can start the next radio show. So do you want to just give our listeners information on finding your music and links to your website again?
Yes. So my music's on my website. Those who don't feel comfortable going on the internet, I'm on iTunes. I'm on Amazon. You can get I cannot give the album away on iTunes or Amazon, but I can on my website, which will be digital downloads off of my website. And all my albums are up there. Subscribe to the newsletter because we're going to be having promotions, especially with my next album that's coming out, which is going to be great. I can't wait to start talking about it and getting that out because everything has taken this 14th album. It's gone to a new direction that I'm really excited about for everybody. You can find me on Twitter at Ted Winslow and then Solfeggio Sound Healing on Facebook. So, and I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, David. And I want to say thanks to your producer, Don, and what you guys are doing for connecting all of us on this beautiful show that you guys have of Universal Soul Love. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and thank you for being on the show. What a great interview. Really, really excellent information for our listeners. I'm really privileged to have you here and honored. And hope to have you again on the show. And we have Dr. Lana here, so you can talked to her about, you two can talk about sort of the medical aspects of your music and the frequencies on the human body and on the mind, especially with the mother-in-law and adolescents.
I think that'll be really interesting. I would love it, and I'd be honored.
Okay. Well, that's all for now. Thank you for listening in to Universal Soul Love, and we'll see you next time.